Welcome to American Players Theater Portable Prologues. I'm Buzz Kemper, and I invite you to enrich your Play in the Woods experience by joining Orin Schroeder as she speaks with actors Kelsey Brennan and Marcus Truschinski and director Aaron Posner about APT's 2022 production of The Rivals by Richard Grinsley Sheridan.
Today we're going to be talking about The Rivals, a play by Richard Grinsley Sheridan, and we are fortunate to have with us Aaron Posner, the director, Kelsey Brennan, who's playing Lydia Languish, and Marcus Truschinski, who is playing Captain Jack Absolute. And APT did The Rivals back in 1997, and they also have done Sheridan's best-known play, which is School for Scandal, in 1987, and The Critic in 2011. So we've been treated to some of his comedies in past years. But I'm excited about The Rivals. It's been a little while since we've seen that one. And I wanted to start by asking Aaron about the fact that he said The Rivals is a play that he loves for the same reason that he loves APT. Can you explain that comment, Aaron?
Highly theatrical, requires an engaged audience, has a sense of play and extremity. The acting company here has the capacity to live in sort of extremity and ridiculousness at the same time as groundedness, which is what I think that The Rivals really requires. So it just felt like, from the time I read it, it just felt like a really tremendous match for this company and for this space as well, because it wants a sense of scale and scope. It is larger than life, and so it wants a sort of fullness too. So for all of those reasons.
And what about APT audiences matches The Rivals?
Well, it's a very literate, very smart, perceptive audience. Not to, you know, but so I feel like that is the language is complicated. It's not impenetrable. It's not as hard as Shakespeare, but it is heightened language and quite poetic and quite twisty at times. And I think this is an audience that really relishes that challenge and that kind of engagement and the sort of pleasure of that. So,
I agree. The Rivals is considered an example of the revival of English Restoration comedy of manners. And I thought it might be fun for our audience to know a little bit about what was the Restoration and what is a comedy of manners.
Yeah, I have no idea, really. I mean, it's a period. What I find interesting about it is not sort of the theory of what Restoration comedy or comedy of manners has certain sort of academic standards of language and of a certain kind of dynamic. I find it more interesting that it sits at this sort of crossroads between a sort of equidistant between Shakespeare and Dickens. And that you also, as we've been working on it, we've also been connecting it into the importance of being earnest or even into Monty Python. It's part of a long continuum of sort of British playful comedy that builds off of types. So you have Lydia Languish and Jack Absolute, which sit very much in sort of Dickensian names that he's going to pick up and make more complicated 70 years later. But it also feels a lot like a Shakespearean comedy in the multiple plots and the multiple classes going on. So So the Restoration sort of sits between along this long and interesting and really playful British comedy timeline. And that's part of what we've been really enjoying.
And, of course, comedy of manners is somewhat self-explanatory. It's making fun of the mores of the time. And that's, for some reason, the British have always poked fun at themselves and their manners, and we certainly enjoy doing that as well.
Yeah, there's so much there to poke fun at. So they have always wanted to sort of, they've been very aware of their class systems and of their foibles and of their sort of strict categorizing of people and of energies. So I feel like that's where this has a lot of fertile territory.
Kelsey and Marcus, Aaron just said there's a lot of playfulness in The Rivals and even in the names of your characters. So what can you tell us about the challenges of playing Lydia Languish and Captain Jack Absolute without making them too silly?
There's no such thing as too silly. but, you know, it has to be balanced. I think that's what we've talked a lot about in rehearsal is the balance between the two. Like how absolutely real can we be and how absolutely ridiculous to the peak, you know, and once we find what the kind of peaks and valleys of those are, we find a kind of a lovely middle. But right now I feel like it's a time for us to be silly and to be big and to feel these gigantic emotions, but also to kind of really let ourselves go and laugh right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've said it before, but it bears repeating that the funniest things are based in truth, right? That's why we're able to laugh at them, because we recognize so quickly that we've experienced them ourselves, or that we've seen it in the world before. So something that from day one kind of really became a sticking point for me was, regardless of how big and colorful these people are, they have to really be in love with each other. And we'll see if you care when you see it, but that's what we're driving for.
And I imagine that with comedy, it's really important for you to see what the audience responds with. I mean, what the audience finds funny and maybe doesn't find. I mean, is that an important aspect of performing something as humorous as this?
Absolutely. It's the other character in the play. It's as important as another human being on stage, I think. Marcus doesn't care, though.
I do. No, I care very much. One of Aaron's greatest strengths as a director, I feel like, is he is such a great audience member. And you really kind of get a sense of what the play is going to be like, because he's just so wonderful at being present and newly present every day as both an audience member and a director. So it's really fun to play in that way, because we're all just, you know, playing make-believe, and he's kind of part of that with us, and it's really fun.
And Aaron, you've said that the play is not going to be done exactly the way it would have been done 250 years ago. So what has changed?
The core of it is exactly what would have been done 250 years ago, in the sense of it is great writing. There's a reason this play survived. And he wrote this thing when he was 23 or 24 years old, but he was writing truth and complexity and playfulness into it. So at its core, it's exactly what he did, and that's what we built from. But there's been another 250 years of theatrical playfulness and traditions and other ways of sort of subverting or challenging the way we watch and the sort of theatrical package we can put it in. So there he wrote some incomprehensible prologues for this that we have replaced with a more musical event. There is a kind of a playful theatricality, as we don't have realistic sets out there, and we don't have five different interiors. And so there is a theatrical packaging or playfulness that has a little bit of a more modern sensibility. And that's just to sort of to keep the audience on their toes, to have it live in this current moment to some extent. But at the core, we are very much respecting what he said out there, which is, you know, extreme, ridiculous stories of love and romance. And that's the center of what we're doing, with extreme characterizations, with extreme characters, extreme but truthful.
And you touched a moment ago on the set design by Sean Motley and costumer Susan Mickey. What are they charged to do, and what are they bringing to the collaboration?
Well, we have moved the production from the 1775, when it was written, into the roughly the early part of the 20th century, sort of the teens, early 20s, kind of a Downton Abbey sort of period there, partially because Sense and Sensibility is also going on this season, which sits at a period not very far from the original of The Rivals, partially because we just wanted to sort of a different sort of time that felt maybe a little bit more modern, that keyed into other, where costumes could speak a little bit more about the personality of the people. We recognize something in costumes of the teens or 20s that we don't necessarily recognize in the costuming of the 1770s. So So that is, so the design borrows from the early 20th century sort of energy. And then Susan and Sean and Andre Plus, our sound designer, and Michael Peterson, all of our designers are really trying to join us in this sort of effervescence and playfulness of it and allow it to be beautiful and sort of delightful. That's sort of our goals. If you come to this one, it's for beauty and delight, hopefully, and maybe some silliness.
That's great. One of the best known characters in the play is played by Tracy Michelle Arnold, and it's Mrs. Malaprop. She's a comic figure and responsible for a literary term, which not too many characters can say. So I'm wondering if one of you could talk about what a malaprop is and maybe even give an example.
Let's phone a friend. Let's call Tracy.
Yeah. Okay.
One of my favorites is she says at one point that somebody she's, you know, is being very threatening and difficult. And she says he's like an allegory on the banks of the Nile instead of an alligator. And so that is it's she just gets her words wrong all the time and is sure she is being super brilliant. And of course, the reality is I feel like we all know people who use a wrong idiom or use the wrong word. And we mostly, and certainly I have done it on a number of occasions, particularly when we're trying to seem super smart. At that moment in which we really want to impress with somebody else, we say, well, there is a plethoritude of that, you know, or something. And, you know, and everyone like nods and goes, yeah, that was deep of you. So that is the Mrs. Malaprop, energy and her sort of core quality, which is delightful to watch Tracy sort of live in full delight of that.
I would think it might be hard to make sure you do it wrong instead of right when you're learning your lines.
Tracy's good at doing things wrong. She's very good at that.
So I know that both Kelsey and Marcus have a lot of experience with Shakespeare, and I wanted to talk about how the Rivals reflect some of Shakespeare's comic ideas or language. I don't know if you realize that Sheridan was actually accused of plagiarism when he originally published the play at age 23 or 24, and so he obviously owes a debt to Shakespeare. Do you see that in the play?
Yeah, there's a lot of similar plot lines, you know, the primary lovers and the secondary lovers and mistaken identity. And it's, similar to a lot of his earlier plays, I think a lot of the plot lines.
I think I see it in some of the language, just in how kind of athletic it is to perform the language. I think there was a rehearsal where Aaron literally said to me, yeah, you're just going to have to Shakespeare that line. And I know exactly what that meant. It means you have to create a roadmap within one line because the language is so dense that, you know, as actors, we get technical for a minute. We know what the line means. We know why we're saying it. But to make it sing, there's a little bit of push and pull, figuring out how fast or slow. It's that type of stuff that hopefully by the time you're actually performing, you're not thinking about. But there's definitely a focus on how to make some of these words really make sense in the best way.
Yeah, it's a super demanding energy because it has the complexity of Shakespeare and the sort of glibness of Oscar Wilde. And we have to marry those. So in rehearsal a lot, I'm saying we need to go faster, but slower.
Yeah.
And just to totally drive my actors crazy. But it's true. It has to have this drive. It has to have this playfulness and chip off the tip of the tongue. And at the same time, it's complicated. So it has to be well charted and very, very specific. So it's a wonderful challenge for actors. And this is, again, why there is no place in the world I would rather do it than here, where you have actors who can meet those challenges.
And frankly, there's no place in the world that we would rather see this play. So thank you all for bringing it to the stage this summer.
Aw, thanks.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Portable Prologues is a co-presentation of American Players Theater, Orange Tree Imports, and Audio for the Arts Recording Studio. Our sincere thanks to the actors and directors who spoke with us, as well as Sarah Young, Hannah Jo Anderson, and everyone at APT. Your host is Orin Schroeder. Our theme song is Play in the Woods, an original composition written by me for use in these podcasts. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.